Hello, and welcome to Shazam, the podcast that hopes to make itself obsolete. I'm Kayla Drescher, your host, and this is a very special episode. Here we go. So you would have heard in the past episode with Lynn Dillies in the little intro about my views on the trick Cake that was performed by Jabrizi and sold by Abstract Effects. So to give you a little bit of information on the after of the release of the trick, it got taken down by Abstract Effects. I reached out to Abstract Effects and haven't heard anything, but then I also reached out to Jabrizi himself. And just like I do with anyone that I'm sharing an opinion on why I think something they did might be wrong and share those thoughts, I like to reach out to have a conversation and get a little bit of backstory and also invite them on the podcast to potentially share their half of the story because I don't want to make assumptions. I want to understand where people come from. And so I invited Jabrizi on and I was really surprised that he said yes. And so this is the interview with Jabrizi. I have a couple of things I want to mention before we get into it. My goal was to have an actual conversation with him because I think many people have released videos or called him out in comments, and I'm not a fan of this. It feels really passive aggressive and I don't think anything gets done. I think it just fuels a fire without giving someone the chance to be heard or to listen to your perspective. So I wanted to give Jabrizi a chance to be listened to explain Cake and his comments. There was a YouTube video calling out Jabrizi's actions and he commented on there using the F-A gay slur. And at the least, I was hoping that we would get a chance to see who Jabrizi really is outside of the social media brand and the social media filter. That being said, I don't want to tell you too much about what you're about to hear, as I think it's important that we all form our own opinion on this one. So here are just a couple of things to note. I very seriously wrestled with releasing this interview. I talked to a lot of people whose opinions I respect. Thank you all so much for sharing those thoughts with me. I could not have come to any conclusion without the countless conversations I've had over the last couple of days. And it was a really tough call. I ultimately decided it was really important to release this. There was talk on whether or not it would be a good idea to put this out and give Jabrizi more attention. And I ultimately decided that it was important to put this out and let everyone make their own opinions about what is discussed. At one point, there is a prop that gets brought into the recording. You'll hear me reference that it is a bundle of sticks. And this prop is actually, according to Amazon, it's a rodent chew toy, just so you understand. But for the context of this, I just need you to know what the visual is that's happening. I will give you the heads up. I do lose my cool at the end of the episode. I did learn a lot from that moment. I probably would have done things differently if I had the chance to do it again. I learned a lot myself. I apologize if I personally offend anyone because of that moment. You'll hear it. It's in the last couple of minutes. So I do apologize if that kind of hits a nerve. There you go. I did do my best to listen and provide my perspective as best as I possibly could. I have listened to this episode now twice, and I wish I had maybe said things a little bit differently, articulated points a bit better. Obviously, not sort of lost my mind at the end, but I think I did my best in the moment. And I'm also very proud that I think this is the first time anyone has actually had a conversation with Jabrizi. And it was really important to me that I put my money where my Shazam mouth is and actually talk to somebody about why I think their actions were wrong, as opposed to just letting this kind of go over, passively aggressively talking about it in an episode. It was important to have an actual conversation and learn from that. Please be advised that there are topics of conversation that might be triggering: sexual assault, the use of a gay slur, and comments on the LGBTQ+ community. So just be advised as you're listening. Anyway, here it is, my interview with Jabrizi. Hi, Jabrizi.
What's up? How you doing?
Do you prefer Jabrizi or Jabri as I'm reading on your Zoom?
Dang, that's a good question. Jabri feels more homey, like at home. Jabrizi. Surprise me.
Now there's a lot of pressure on me. I don't know what to say. I'll just go back and forth between the two, and then you eventually tell me which one feels right. I like it. Thank you so much for being here. This is really cool of you. I'm really excited to get into the conversation. Before we do, because I imagine, well, maybe not, but there might be one person listening who has no idea who you are. Can you just quick, who is Jabrizi? How do you define yourself in terms of your career, who you are? Give us a quick summary of the Jabri.
I would say I am a creative individual whom is extremely passionate about this is such a man, because like as my life progresses, I focus less and less about defining myself and more so just do what's in my heart. Jabrizi is a person who does what's in his heart. Let's just say that. I think that keeps it big and big, and I think to a degree beautiful. There you go. Jabrizi is a person who does what's in his heart.
I like it. What is currently in Jabrizi's heart?
Currently in Jabrizi's heart, taking care of the team. Right now, building a social media empire, going to the music industry and changing that up, because I think that can be touched up. Like, it looks whack to me. I'm like, you guys do this whole thing horribly. I think I could do it much better.
That sounds good. I didn't even know that was a thing. So that's cool. I like it. So you mentioned a social media empire. I would say you already have that and you're just constantly building it up. I mean, you're a social media wizard. In terms of creating content, you're always creating content. And I mean, do you have a bajillion views on videos? I don't even know if that's a number. How did that come about? When did you decide you were like, social media is my thing? That's what's in Jabrizi's heart, social media empire.
Yeah, I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a magician, but then I was like, well, Crohn's, I couldn't travel at the time. I couldn't leave my house. So with all that being said, I had to figure out another way to kind of get it out there, another platform. Online was very convenient because you can do it right in your home, which was exactly the restriction I had. So I could do videos online and entertain a bunch of people all from my house and do it at like a timely pace in the comfort of where I'm at.
And as shitty as having a chronic illness is, I also have one. So I do understand. I don't have Crohn's, but I have an autoimmune issue. So I get not being able to function as you would want. But It's also a kind of a cool preparation for right now, because you're like, well, I can still be a social media star when there's a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like social media, not social media star. I don't even think I see myself as a social media star.
What would you call it?
I see myself icon.
Icon. You've said that in interviews before. Icon.
Yeah. Cause a social media star, just a bunch of those. And I don't think they're as impactful as people would like to believe, a large majority of them. And that's just my honest opinion, because certain people resonate a little differently. Some people care what other people say, and not everyone cares what these people say. And at the same time, it's very hard to distinct their brand from the next brand. In terms of what they do, yeah, that's clear as day. But who they are, sometimes some people's personalities stick out like a sore thumb. And that's what I look for. I think that's the it factor for some people.
I would agree that you've got a brand down. So certainly if somebody described a video and was like, I don't remember the person's name, and they described it, I go, oh no, that's Jabrizi. It's clear as day who you are.
Yes. Thank you.
Well,
thank
you. You're welcome. I think you deserve credit where credit is due for sure. What's that pressure like though? Because for me, as a pro magician who's in a tour and has been doing this for a living forever, I am very comfortable doing the same material for years, and it just gets, you know, crank it out. But I have a different audience every show. You have the same audience for video. So you have to crank out material, new material, interesting, creative, on-brand material. Plus you also, and I've heard in interviews that you've had to be very cautious of sharing opinions and doing the wrong thing. What is that pressure like being this social media icon?
I'm not so sure about sharing opinions. I state my opinion. I just ask, is it the time to do it? So I say, is it the time? Am I the person? And how should I say it? That's if it's anything within the realms of business. But in terms of that, the pressure, you'd be very surprised. The same people don't see your face all the time. In fact, a person who watches your video today may come back and watch a video in 3 months. And in that time span, you maybe have posted maybe 50 videos, but they come and catch you on the 50th one. So the internet is such a big place that people see you all the time. The key thing is to make yourself so memorable that they only have to see you one time, that they just say, whoa, I really like that clicked. So that's the hard part. Cranking out new material, it's not a challenge. I like the challenge. Anything that's a challenge, I kind of smile in the face of it because I'm all about challenges.
Yeah, for sure. What is your definition of then being memorable? How do you go about doing that? What's important for your audience to remember about Jabrizi?
I feel like God made everyone very uniquely, and the way that you hold on to that uniqueness about yourself is very important. And you're almost, in a sense, naturally already brandable from the start. I think as people progress throughout life, they start to get stripped from all the colors of things that make them them. And then people start throwing shades on them, and we start to remove people's individuality, right? Making them a part of a whole of something. And I think that's kind of the issue because now brands stand out. And if it's a collective of something, then it's going to stand in. And that's not the point. If you're ever trying to brand out, you're really creating your own culture at the end of the day when it comes to branding. So that's really the key. What are you cultivating in the world to the degree of like how bacteria works? You know, take a bit of bacteria and it starts to grow over time, right? It's culturing up like this whole new little spot and pocket and the petri dish. So that's kind of how I think about branding. What's that one little speck about you that you're pushing out? And it's your own little stain in the shirt.
I like all of your analogies. Stain on the shirt, petri dish. I mean, everyone's growing sourdough during this pandemic, aren't they? So that growing, cultivating the starter, we're there. I get you. You're not done that yet? Get on that,
Grown
Jabrizi.
sourdough?
Yeah, what are you doing with your life? Get on growing sourdough.
I wouldn't even know how to grow bread. I don't even know how that works. I don't even know how bread works. Maybe that's why they say this is the best invention since sliced bread, because maybe people are just that clueless about how to make bread.
I mean, if you watch the British baking show, you realize that bread is super hard, and I'm just going to go buy it at the store.
Oh, see? Well,
I'm with you.
yep, that's the next challenge I gotta get on, man. Gotta get onto the cooking channel. Bread
Yes.
makers.
There you go. There's going to be an entire show called Jabrizi Hosts Bread Makers.
Yeah,
I'm
that'd be
in.
hilarious.
I'll watch that. Do you ever read the comments on the videos? I know sometimes you comment on them, but because I have a couple of videos on YouTube. And when I say a couple, I mean I have like one. And the comments are sometimes rough. I like them because I think I learn a lot. What is that like? Because you're obviously you have so many of so many views. What is that like for you? Do you read them? Do you care?
I read them once every blue moon. That's even like when I began, I read them once every blue moon. The reason I don't read them as much is because I'm so focused on trying to make new content to a degree where my brain's always thinking in the pace of, okay, done with that. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. So, like, if I do look back at a comment, I think the funniest comment I read on one of my videos, and I was like, kind of happy I read that. That was hilarious. That had me dying. It was a trick I did to, it was like a pack of white girls on a train. And this is like probably the funniest comment because I didn't even notice this. I love the way some people observe things. Someone was like, how the hell did they observe that? But it was like, all these girls are going crazy on the train. It was like a full cart. It was like young teenage girls. And someone comments, man, why are all these white girls on this train? Where are they going to? A field trip to Starbucks? I was like, that shit was funny. That was funny. That shit was hilarious. So that was the funniest comment I've read in my entire life. I was like, watching this video, I didn't think about that, but some comedian out there was thinking about these jokes. But no, I don't read them. I even make it a mandate and try to encourage my team not to read them because I'm like, here's the thing with the comment section. If you look at it, and it's more of a shift towards positive thinking. If you take a look at the amount of people who liked the video to the amount of people who commented, and then now let's take that those comments to every negative comment, you may have 100 comments. 80 of them are people who dislike the video, but then you might have 1,000 people who like it. And in my head, I'm like, why not just attend to the 1,000 people who liked it? Clearly, like, they're there for me. Why worry about the 80 people? And even then, you know what's crazy? I'll always tell them this too. I say, when someone likes something, you ever notice they usually don't comment? And I'm guilty of that. Like, when I like something, I sometimes don't comment. So usually, and it's just by natural instinct in human nature, people are going to comment if they don't like something. But even then, personally, like I comment on something every once in a blue moon, unless it really touched me like spiritually and I'm like, oh wow, that was really good. Then I might make a comment. But usually on random videos I find online, I've never left intentional negative comment initiated towards a person out of spite. That's just not me. I just too busy. I'm too busy to like, look, the time I had to take out to type that to be like, I hate you. What else could I have been doing?
Growing sourdough.
Exactly. I could have been growing sourdough,
Thank
feeding
you.
my face and nourishing
Yes,
myself.
with your sourdough.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get you to start bread making. That's really the point of this conversation. So I'm glad you're here for me. Great. So now that we're best friends, I imagine you agree with that statement. I have a question, which is, as you probably could guess, the reason why I wanted to talk with you, which is about cake, which, by the way, I watched and I was devastated there was not actual cake. I thought there was going to be something with dessert, and then I learned what cake meant. I don't know if you know this, but I'm glow in the dark white. So I have no idea what it was like. This is new for me. So obviously, there was a ton of backlash with cake. In terms of there was a video made, lots of comments, it got taken down, et cetera. Why do you think that is? What from your perspective happened where that needed to be removed?
Well, from my perspective, I genuinely wouldn't have taken it down. That was not my decision. It
Sure.
was abstracts. So that was one. Number two, people's reactions upon that. People project parts of themselves onto people. And in terms of that, even in the marketing of that trick, we even stated ask for permission, right? So I said, I don't want you reaching in the back of any girl's pockets and getting in trouble. That's not on me. You should have did your due diligence. So in terms of that, even the disclaimer before you even seen the trick was a part. And in magic, there are a lot of tricks that are kind of like that. One popular one that I do a lot is sit with a kiss, right? Or the one where the cards swap after you
French
kiss
kiss.
someone. Yeah, French kiss. And that one is such a baller trick to me because I'm like, yo, this is so badass. You're this magician walking into a room, you see a girl, go up to her, ask for a kiss, card swap. Two amazing moments happen. You convince the girl to kiss you, and also you got the cards to swap. Freaking stunner to me. I love it. I love the trick. To me, it encapsulated everything to me that a rock star or being a badass is. It's like the suave guy walking in with the suit and just charming everybody and dazzling them with the finesse. So for cake was the equivalent of that. And even then, when it comes to magic, I think people took it as a sexual assault thing. I'm like, okay, no sexual harassment, excuse me, be very specific.
No, you said assault's right.
Harassment. Because I don't, it's not, how is it assault? Because in my head, assault is when someone doesn't grant you permission. It's very different. It's like going on a date with a girl. Look, the date can happen right then and there. That's if she feels comfortable. Because to the equivalent, if a girl comes up and randomly kisses me on my lips, I'm gonna be like, hey, hold up, girl, I don't know you, right? I don't know where your lips been, and I didn't tell you to kiss me. You know, so the fine line of someone giving you permission is the only thing you should be concerned about. And I think that's where a lot of that came from. I believe a lot of older male magicians tend to be creepy themselves, and maybe they have a hard time speaking to women. So then they're projecting that onto me, like I'm having that same experience. And realistically, I don't got that experience at all. It's not in Jabrizi's life. Like Jabrizi doesn't have that thing going on. Look, and I also even said this. I said to my employees, it's like, look, I didn't say the game was included. I'm just giving you a trick. Didn't say the game was included. You got to figure that part out yourself, how to speak to women. So, yeah.
The
People's
so,
concerns on that.
yeah, and I kind of understand that perspective. The woman that's in the video, so I only saw the trailer with the full performance. The woman that's in the video, she's a part of your brand, right? Because I see her in a lot of your videos, a lot of Rick Lax videos, right? So she's a part of your crew, right?
Yeah, Ollie.
Ollie, great, thank you. So Ollie in the video, Ollie says, I want to reach into your pockets, right? So like she literally invites you to do this. Have you performed cake for a woman that is not someone you know? And how then do you go about, I mean, maybe this is part of the Jabri brand that You can just go, I want to reach into your pockets, you reach into mine, and you don't have to, like, that's your permission and women are fine with it. Has that been your experience? Do you think, so you're saying yes. Do you think that is the experience for other magicians?
I don't think anyone's experiences are the same. So in terms of that, and sometimes experience comes from exactly the word you're using, experience. So therefore, for them to figure out how to make the trick work for them, that's predicated upon them going throughout life and figuring out how to make the situation work in itself. There are magic tricks that don't work in every situation or occasion or for every person. So in that sense, if the trick doesn't work for whomever is doing it and they don't feel like they can get the results, probably shouldn't be doing the trick. Because when I seen Silk with the kiss, there's a lot of magicians who can't get the kiss. You know, they're like, I watch magicians in my own face try to do that trick, and it's cringy. It's so cringy because I'm like, you just choke the whole way through. And women are intuitive. They feel you. If they ain't feeling you, it's just not about to happen. So me performing it, performing it out in public, live. I'm here in Vegas, so we're always going out. Not my experience at all.
So in the actual instructions of the video, do you explain more? Because I do appreciate the fact that you said, make sure you ask permission. That's great. And not in other effects that are similar. So a lot of getting a woman's phone number effects and things like that, that permission, that consent statement's not in there. So I do appreciate throwing that in. That's really important. But in the actual performance of it, we didn't get to see the consent be asked for because it was a performance, which is totally cool. But for the tutorial perspective, do you have in the actual instructions of the video, did it say, here's what happens if she does not let you reach into her pocket? Here's how to ask for permission. Does that get explained at all?
Well, if she doesn't, then don't do it. I mean, it's as simple as like she can reach in her own back pockets. Like it's her back pocket. So you're reaching your back pockets. The only reason that that trick is like that is the convincer. As in magic, we have convincers. So people can feel more convinced that there wasn't any trickery that went on. So in the whole performance, the person watches you put two random cards in your back pocket after they get done doing theirs. And the assumption is you might have more cards in your back pocket. You're doing something funny. So that's why that happened. But other than that, you both could just reach in your back pockets and pull out the cards. That's simple. I mean, I wouldn't treat the audience of magicians to a low degree of IQ that they couldn't figure that out. Because if you couldn't figure that out, then you probably shouldn't be in magic, because this isn't like a dumb man's game. You know, so in that sense, if you couldn't figure out, well, oh, okay, you're not cool with that, then you reach in your pocket, I'll reach in mine, I'll pull them out. Done. That's it. That's the end of story with that one.
Does that get explained then in the instructions?
It doesn't get explained, but I clearly say, hey, if a girl doesn't let you do that, then don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I really have to say for that part.
If you were to re-record the instructions on this, would you add in a segment that says, here's how to do it if she's not comfortable with you reaching into her back pockets?
Sure.
Are you confident about that? Sure.
No, I'm like, sure, but that's not what we did. Not, I wouldn't want to waste my time going back to do that one thing. It's not something I would have in my schedule. Cause I'm like, to me, I'm like, okay, whoever gets this, you can't logically think about that. And I even put a big disclaimer before and at the end of the tutorial saying the same thing. If you couldn't figure that out, you probably shouldn't be doing this trick, or you probably shouldn't be doing magic. Or you shouldn't be talking to people in general, because you don't know how to logically and rationally think through a situation that's going down. Because it's like, she's going to say no, and you're going to be like, no, let me get in them back pockets. Like, you're like, hold up. You're going a little crazy right now.
So I'd love to just sort of explain my feelings on Cake. Now, I didn't make a video calling you out or anything. I wanted to have this conversation with you because I think that's much more valuable. So as a woman, my perspective on, at least, I know, I full disclosure, I did not purchase the effect and see the entire instructions. I just watched what was on Abstract Effects. From my perspective, I appreciated the call for asking for permission, but then I didn't see the ask for permission. And from my perspective, this seemed like, for someone who is not necessarily a good interactor with people, or a young kid who might be purchasing this effect because they're such a big fan of yours, they are seeing this as kind of an invitation for, and I'm going to say sexual assault. And the reason is that sexual assault is physical touching. Harassment is more language. So with sexual assault, if a kid doesn't know, and a lot of abject affect clients are younger boys, they don't know yet what they're doing. And they're probably enamored by the Jerizi. To me, I feel like this is an invitation to do this because they don't understand enough information yet. I also didn't know that the woman in the video was someone that was in a lot of your content. So I understood that the video was, I assume, rehearsed because she asks to do that, which is totally cool. That doesn't bother me at all. But that's not what would happen if I were to walk into a room and perform this trick. There are a lot of magicians that purchase effects that think it's a good idea to inappropriately grab a woman, or the bra trick and just shove a scarf down her bra. I mean, I've literally watched magic all of the time at places like the Magic Castle where guys are super duper creepy against women and they have no idea that they're being creepy. So from my perspective, cake seemed like an invitation, unless you knew better, to just reach into a woman's back pockets regardless. Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying. I would like to also propose this question.
For sure.
Wen Haochen taught French Kiss.
Yeah, I'm very familiar.
And in that, I remember seeing the tutorial. He never stated what to do if she doesn't. So I've never seen this type of backlash for someone to, and let me even say this, arguably a kiss, if someone forces a kiss on someone, it's arguably, it might be even worse. Catch herpes. Look, I'm just saying, no one got mad at Wayne for this, you know?
So in terms of that, in Wayne's tutorial, though, so we've done an episode on French Kiss for this podcast, and watching the tutorial just recently, he doesn't invite people to kiss each other. You get about 8 inches away from someone else's face. There's actually no intention of kiss. And what we've seen is that there are now magicians asking for kisses or making two volunteers kiss that have never met. Does that make sense?
All right. So they come close. All right. Awesome. But I go for the kiss when I do that trick. I'm like, it's no point in me getting this close to your face. I'm going to ask for a kiss. I'm going to get a kiss. Cool. Done. Shebang. Shibuya. That's what it is. For me, the conversation around this seems to be projected out of the biggest problem in the magic community alone, which I always feel was always there, was you stated you went to the Magic Castle. There's a bunch of creepy magicians there, right? But also when you say creepy, let's ask, why could they be creepy? Low EQ, emotional intelligence, to know when to interact, what they're doing, and how it's going to affect someone, right? Knowing when the right time is to do it. Because best believe, Jabrizi has a good successful rate because I have a high EQ. So I call when to do it. It's like, seems like the good time to do it.
When you mean EQ?
Emotional intelligence.
Okay, got it, got it.
Yeah. So in terms of that, you know, a person's EQ isn't my fault. Like their IQ isn't my fault.
Sure.
Right? So in terms of that, I think it's a lot of responsibility of me being a part of this collective of a group of people who should be more individually responsible for the outcomes in their own life, because you said a kid may see this trick and may feel as if they're going to do this and that, right? Well, nonetheless, where did this kid get the money to purchase this trick? And then also, what is the parent doing watching their kid? Because in terms of that, my mother didn't want to go one day without watching me watch one of my DVDs. What am I getting? What do I have? My father, neither. So in terms of that, parents should be parents. And even at that, I think they look at the trick and they can say, if they're whatever age range this person is, if the adult who's consenting to buying this is being a proper functioning parent, well, if they look at the trick, they're going to be like, no, that's like some 20-year-old, 21-year-old boy trick, 18-year-old boy trick. You're not getting this. You're not his age. It's clear as day. It's clear as day. So for me, I'm like, look, where did this whatever age range kid get this money from? One. Two, are their parents aware of what they're doing? In magic, there's a lot of dangerous things too. A lot of dangerous things that we do in terms of magic. So I'm like, are the parents paying attention to all the dangerous things their kids are doing? Eating glass and ECT, right? Are we responsible for you cutting your mouth when you put a shard of a light bulb in your mouth and crunching down on it? Even in magic, we put big disclaimers on everything that we do if we feel as if someone may cause himself harm or get into trouble. Remember when I learned Wayne Houchin's, it's like this one where you put a needle straight through your hand, right? It gives you a big warning about it. Big crazy warning. Now, I believe they took it down. I'm not sure if that's because Blaine bought it. or if it was a danger of the trick. I think Illusionist used to sell another trick. Forgot what it was, but it was another dangerous trick to a degree. So in terms of that, some tricks stay up, some tricks don't. It's not my fault if someone ends up harming themselves or getting into trouble. If I clearly disclaimed that, clearly it put a big disclaimer everywhere, all over it. And in terms of this, like, I even think the culture and the way that it's moved over time. I mean, look, Chris Angel didn't have all this heat on him when he was asking girls to kiss him on cheek and kiss him on the lips.
Oh, no, he did.
Yeah, not really. Look, I just say, like, to the degree of, I'm saying, like, what is the definition of being a rock star? It's being a badass. Some people don't conform to the pressure of what the world puts them under. Almost to a degree, it's like bullying. It's like, hey, you listen to us, you follow us, you do what we say, or we're going to get mad at you, or we're going to do this and that. And look, I come from Chicago. Ain't nobody about to bully me. Like, I'm dealing with drug dealers, gangbangers, and ECT. So people online are like the minimum threat to me. I'm like, sure. this ain't nothing. I'm like, I'll brush that off. So like, to me, in this whole conversation, when everyone got mad and upset, I'm like, clearly, you guys have conformed to group thought on a lot of things and have taken it too far, because to a degree, collectivism goes so far, you never know when it ends.
Wait, the group thought about being against sexually assaulting women?
Well, I would say to a degree.
Because that seems like something that should be a good thing.
No, not confusing that with this. Not confusing that with this. In the terms of this trick is not you sexually assaulting a woman. You clearly asked for permission. That's what it is. Even told you to ask for permission. So I knocked that and nipped that out the butt. If you don't have permission, then you are committing sexual assault, and that's on your accord. I have nothing to do with that, because you should have did your due diligence the same way that you should do your due diligence with your hygiene, your due diligence with putting a condom on if you have sex, your due diligence with anything else.
But you didn't
mention. It's not my fault.
So in the disclaimer saying ask for permission, you specifically said ask for permission because I don't want to get in trouble, which
nope,
I feel
there
is
you go.
Cute.
Lady,
right?
I will play it right here for you. I got it pulled
yeah,
up.
Yeah, please do.
There you go. Right here.
This is no way.
She's great, by the way.
This is no way.
Yeah, one.
All right.
Also, want to remind you guys, ask for permission. I don't want to get in trouble because you're out here reaching
that's what
back
I just said.
Back pocket without her permission, okay? So you make sure she gives you full permission to do that, all right? All right. So, Ollie,
done.
You
can see. Even then.
But at no point does it mention this is sexual assault. Don't do it without permission.
Why do I and have to say that? Like, now you're just nitpicking things. And at that point, you got the bigger picture. Here's the thing. Are you the type of person to look at what's on the painting or the whole painting itself? Me, I'm a bigger picture guy. So when I say something, I'm generally like, here, you can see on this orange wall behind me, there's towels that make it, right? Now, do you want to talk about just the orange one, the green, like the one on the left, the one on the right? That's what you're doing. You're being very nitpicky and specific. To me, for me, I don't have enough time to do that. I would treat you with enough IQ that you know how to assimilate that thought process on your own. Because if I didn't, I'd be insulting your intelligence.
The thing is that because you are such an influential human being, especially on social media, but to mm-hmm. the generation of younger magicians, is that I, as one of the very few women who performs magic professionally, feel like I need to be a good influence for younger girls coming up in this industry. Having this podcast, I feel a lot of responsibility to make sure that I'm constantly learning and trying and doing the right thing. And I have been wrong. I have said wrong things. I am certainly not afraid to mention the things that I have done wrong and learned from. At mm-hmm. what point, though, do you accept that your influence is so large that it's important to make a much stronger disclaimer so that this doesn't happen? The thing about sexual assault is that unless it's clear, it can be debated. So it's not clear in the tutorial for cake that you're super against how to do this way, because then the performance of it doesn't show asking for permission. Right?
So me saying, hey, make sure you get permission. If I say, make sure you get permission.
For what?
Summarize what I just said. Make sure you get permission to reach in the back of some girl's pocket. Can you
summarize
that?
So I don't get in trouble.
Like, I know in school, like when you read a book, they made you summarize the book.
Sure.
Summarize the book and exactly what you interpreted. Let me even say this to a degree. I think why many of these magicians have problems with women and why they're probably a little unhinged on a lot of things is because they believe what a woman says in terms of what comes out of her mouth, right? So then they end up coming out to me projecting it. And I'm like, bro, that's not even what you've seen in the video. I clearly said, ask for permission. And I'm like, so you guys, to a degree, have an interpreting issue is really what it is. Because if I said, ask for permission, you clearly didn't interpret what I said. Interpreting is a critical thinking skill. So now what you're basically saying is, hey, people are not critical thinkers. And I'm like, well, if they're not critical thinkers, sorry, it's not my fault in this world. I push for people to be critical thinkers. So interpret what I said. To me, it's very clear. You ask the most common person out there in the streets who isn't a magician, and they're going to be like, oh yeah, don't do that shit if a girl don't want you to reach in her back pocket. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. It gets more complex the more you nitpick it. Simplicity is where I live. I live on Simplicity Avenue. So I'm not trying to get complex on this.
Yeah, I think with issues, though, of sexual assault, it's important to get complex and nitpicky when this is such a rampant issue with not only magicians, but also in general society, is that sexual assault, all of this is so rampant that it is important that we get nitpicky about these things. In my opinion, in the opinion of a lot of people, it's very valuable.
Let me just ask you this. If a girl gives me permission, did I commit sexual assault?
No, if she gives you permission to reach into your back pocket.
All we have to say. That's it. If she gave me permission, that's it. We're done. Because now it's not sexual assault. Now, if she didn't, you got a great argument there. But if she did, it's her body, her choice. She gave that option to me. So therefore, why are we debating the choice that a woman gives me?
Yes.
As if she made the wrong choice.
For you, though,
it works,
but what about the magicians that are buying this that don't understand even what they're supposed to ask consent for? Do you not feel any level of responsibility there?
Literally, you're supposed to ask for the consent to reach in the back of someone's pocket. Look, you don't reach in the back of someone's pocket to pickpocket. You don't reach in the back of someone's pocket because they might have something very important that they keep there. You don't reach in the back of anybody's pocket, man or woman, without permission. I bet you if I did this to a dude, no one would say anything. We wouldn't even have a conversation. No, wouldn't even be the same. But this would do, everyone be like, this is definitely okay. But now we see it being done to a woman, and many men feel insecure because a lot of these people who are complaining are predominantly men. Let's be honest. Magic is predominantly ruled by a bunch of men, predominantly white older men, if we talk about it. Look, I don't want to bring race into the factor. I more so talk about character. And the character of most magicians, they're not confident outside the realms of magic, you know? So if they're not doing that, they actually find their identity through magic. And when they see a guy like me, a guy that doesn't have these problems, the same ones that they're inhabiting, they get mad at a person like me because they wish they could be in my shoes and do what I do. But what I do came from experience over time, interacting with people, and also knowing and filling out what's going on. For me, I'm very intuitive. I'm a very, very intuitive person. So in terms of this trick, it works really well for me. Some tricks don't work well for people. Misdirection tricks don't work really well for some people. When you watch a person do a misdirection, some people just have horrible timing, or they don't have any personality, so they can't really capture a person's eyes up here to get that one killer moment down there. Some people just don't have that. So like that person's journey, they got to figure that whole thing out. It's not my responsibility. The game ain't sold with it. Some guys don't have game. Let's just be honest. They don't have game. And that's why women don't mess with them. So she don't want you reaching the back of her pockets. She basically saying, yo, bro, you ain't worth it. A girl might tell one magician no to that trick and then next week tell me yes. My fault. It's her. It's just when she feels like it and who she feels like that happening to her. That's all it is.
Wait, it's her fault?
No, I said that's her decision.
So question, just backing up for a hot second. So you said the game isn't sold with it, and that is understandable, of course. I don't even understand what game really is. Look at me. So with that being said, wasn't this billed as this trick will get her phone number?
Yeah. It's a comical standpoint. It's comedy. I think another issue is with the magic community is they don't understand my humor. In terms of that, let me put it like this, because no one really they don't watch my videos, because this is the magic community being outraged. This isn't my fans being outraged. This is the magic community. The Magic community already isn't fans of Jabrizi. I put out many vlogs, many things that you can see of Jabrizi's personality, how he acts, and everything. So you can tell when I'm being sarcastic. You can tell I'm clearly telling a joke. But you can't tell that if you're a person who's observing me.
Like a picture.
Yeah, from a picture. You can't tell that, yo, this is him being goofy. Even to the culture that I grew up in, it's predominantly, I would say, Black culture. And in comedy, it's like we tell jokes like that. I was just listening to the Kevin Hart's biggest comedy special, right? That really got him put on. And I'm like, yo, this stuff is timeless. To some people, like, they might get outraged at some of them jokes in this day and age. But realistically, some people weren't born in the same areas you were born in, cultured the same way you're cultured. Take, for instance, I don't like Friends. Like, I don't like watching the TV show Friends.
Well, it's
like
a terrible show, isn't it?
But some people love it, though. I get the jokes. I just don't think they're funny. But nonetheless, I understand there's humor happening there. You get me?
Yeah, I totally get you, because I'm incredibly sarcastic. So I think I'm with you on that level. And one thing I had to do is I had to totally change how I interact on Twitter, because my sarcasm was coming across as very aggressive. And so
sarcasm is hard to read on text.
Sarcasm so hard to read on text. I'm not funny on text. I totally get it. But so then why choose to have the advertisement for cake be a joke that clearly wouldn't come across to anyone that doesn't understand exactly who Jabrizi is?
No, like a lot of people understand. I think the Magic community gets it confused. I have a lot of followers.
Weren't you selling this to the Magic community though? Cake was a sold product to the Magic community.
Here's the thing. Let's even back up for a moment. This trick, I didn't even invent it.
Okay, but you're selling it.
Yeah, they just wanted me to be the face of it. So in terms of that, I'm just performing the trick. Nonetheless, I thought it was a great trick. That was awesome. Awesome. In terms of who we were going to sell it to, it was really supposed to go to our fans, to my fan base, because I already know how the Magic community is going to act. They get mad at me with anything I release. Anything. Why do I think that is? Envy. Look, they don't live in a mindset of abundance. Like, I live in a mindset of abundance. You'll never see me. And in fact, let me even like walk you back in time. When I first started doing Magic, I stayed in my own lane. Always stayed in my own lane. I didn't really care about what was going on in Magic. I'm in my own little lane. I'm in my own little world. And then here comes the Magic community putting roadblocks here, there, this, that. I remember getting told on the phone by certain magicians who hung up on me and blocked me when I was asking them for advice on what to do and the next steps in my career, because I got called for a TV show, telling me I wasn't prepared for a TV show, and then just ended up completely not talking to me. So because I got granted an opportunity, and they felt as if they should have had it, hung up on me. And these are magicians that people, to a degree, respect. Some of these magicians classified me in the category of not being humble. But I'm like, isn't humility a thing that you actually have to talk to a person? Like, you're online. Like, I don't know anybody online. Like, in my head, I'm like, bro, I'm a grown man. Like, for one, don't tell me who to hate. Don't tell me who to love. And don't tell me what someone acts like. Because I've never hated someone online. It's not the real world. I'm a real person. I'm in the real world. And when I get on this thing, I'm like, this ain't the real world. And I really could care less about this. And if I see someone doing something, even in the rap community, 6ix9ine Tekashi, I don't know the guy. I really don't know the guy. So people, when they tell me like their opinions about him, I'm like, I don't know him. I really don't know him at all. You know what I mean?
We're talking now, which is actually part of the reason that I posted that I wanted to talk to you, is because I also don't believe in, you might have created a brand that isn't you at all. So I wanted to actually have this conversation with you to understand, who is Jabrizi, my sourdough buddy? Who are you as a human being? So this conversation here, to me, is incredibly telling, because I wanted to get a face-to-face encounter. I know it's over Zoom, but it's the best we can do right now. And I totally understand. I have also experienced a lot of roadblocks from the Magic community. And just as you've done, you don't stop, you don't quit. And you've done a great job with that. And now you have influence. So I understand that we could argue all day and night about whether or not cake perpetuates sexual assault, whether or not people buying it would have enough emotional intelligence to make the right choice. And I will leave it at that, because that, according to you, would not be your fault. Okay. So let me bring it to a couple of other things. So there was obviously a video made by Michael O'Brien calling you out for it. I'm not a big fan of passive aggressive videos. I don't think they do anything. I think they're stupid. I get the intention, but I think they're super stupid. And then in comes DeBreezy making a couple comments. And one comment that I was sent over 40 times was when you called everyone in the comments the gay slur. Why is this funny?
It's hilarious.
Why is it funny?
No, continue.
No, why is it funny? Tell me.
It's hilarious because I'm like, yeah, I clearly know the sexual orientation of everyone in that comment section. Yep, that's exactly what I know. I'm like, it says it right there on their profile. Like, spin the card 29, click on his profile. It's like sexual orientation, gay. Yes, and then go to the next one. Drop them cards too. Click on his profile, sexual orientation, gay. Yep, I was hitting everyone on the head. All those people in the comment section were gay. I was totally talking about gay people. Yeah.
Okay, so then why use the slur?
Faggot.
That would be it. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I don't see, this is the thing. Like, you know what this right here is?
That is a bundle of sticks.
It's a faggot. So when I said they sound like faggots, like, you hear that? I'm going to rub together. Right.
But
it's annoying. It's really annoying. So I said, they sound like faggots. Everyone in the comment section sound like a bundle of sticks just rubbing against each other. Sound like faggots. Oh, in fact, actually, Michael, can you give me that faggot right there?
Hi, Michael.
We keep faggots all around the house, actually. Like, there are faggots everywhere in this house. I got one faggot here, two faggot, three faggot, four faggots.
You have an unnecessary amount of sticks.
I have a lot of faggots here. But I love faggots. If anything was to happen, these faggots, if the power was to go out and we needed fire, we needed heat, these faggots would save your life. I have nothing against faggots. I just think they sound like faggots. Because when I have to rub these things together, I swear to God, this is the most cringiest noise you will ever hear in your life when trying to start a fire. Faggots are so annoying. Wait, we got one right there, too.
You know that term has not been used to describe a bundle of sticks since the 1400s, right?
What?
The 1400s. Actually, it was in the 20th century. In the 20th century, it was the first time that that word was used as a gay slur. So we're talking about the 1900s. When
my mother always told me to use the dictionary. And I did, you know, it doesn't have timestamps next to the dictionary. I looked at it. I was like, oh my God. Like,
wait, so.
I what?
Because something meant something else in the past doesn't mean something used it in the present.
I thought that there, should and there. When was the first
should
there?
I not,
I think
should
the first
I then
there
not
was
refer
made
to
in
you
1700s.
As the N-word? You, I mean, we've talked a lot because there is a significant argument about much of the magic community having racist tendencies. Would it not be okay? Should I not call you, or is it okay that I call you the N-word?
Well, look, here's the thing. I tell people this all the time. I'm like, hey, as long as you don't
like
say
yes
it or no. To me. No, I'm about to answer the question. Look, as long as you don't say it to me, we cool. Now, if you say it around other black people, that's another story. They might do something different.
Then why is it okay to use, I mean, the F word is equal to the LGBTQ community as the N word is to the black community.
What is this community? I don't know. What is the LGBT community? What is that even? LGBTQ?
Okay. So I had you on here, DeBreezy, we're going to wrap this up. I had you on here because I genuinely wanted to give you, I am speaking, I am so much speaking. I had you on here to give you a chance. Do you know how many people were like, he's not going to listen to you? And I said, I want to actually talk to the man face to face and actually listen to your perspective. The fact that you have just said, what is the LGBTQ community? No, here's the thing. You are a social media icon, according to your words. You feel like you've been bullied. You are the one bullying people. You are influencing a generation with your content. You want to be legendary. You don't want to be good. You don't want to be great. You want people to say your name after you die. I get that. And that's very admirable. However, what
you
you're
like
doing
faggots.
Now,
you
don't I
like,
don't,
you don't
like the
faggots.
Word because it's a slur. It is an inappropriate
to all
slur
those,
to the LGBT.
Stop.
Correct.
Stop. We're talking about this. What are you talking about? I'm talking about. Okay. So look, You must be against.
I'm talking about the people bundle of sticks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, let's back to Michael. We don't listen, Michael. I appreciate you trying to back him up, but I'm here to speak with Jabrizi. Like, and the problem here, again, I'm just going to keep going.
I promise to
the
God.
The problem here is that you refuse to acknowledge that something is wrong. You refuse to acknowledge, like, I have admitted I have been wrong in the past with things I have said. You could easily admit, oh, shoot, you know what? I shouldn't have used that. That is a wrong term to use. I get it. It's a man-made slur, but so is the N-word.
I might use it again.
Oh,
I might.
Please do. I cannot wait for this episode to come out because you want people to treat you with respect. Then you need to show people respect.
Oh, my God.
You sit here insulting people. How have I been? I am sat here listening to you.
Do you want me to send you a fact? Do you understand what I'm going through here?
Please continue to bring up sticks. Jabrizi, I think the fact that I gave you a shot to listen to you and I gave you a shot to give this perspective, I tried so hard to be in your corner and listen to you.
What are you talking about? You I'm losing money right now.
Great. Then
trying to educate you on sticks. I'm even going 1 minute over time. That's a lot of money.
I cannot wait. I just look forward to the day when you give a flying fuck about other people. I think we are done here. There is no hope anymore. Enjoy your bundle of sticks and your camping trip. Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael, for being in the room. I appreciate you.
I'll see the We're Amazon head link out. To where I got these from, and you'll see what I mean. Just rub them together. The faggots are annoying.
Bye, Jabrizi. So that is the interview. And as always, I have a very specific call to action for you right now. I think just for today and maybe tomorrow, we should do nothing. I think there should be no comments made. I think there should be no additional information shared. If you want to share this episode, great. But I think for the most part, we need to do nothing for a couple of days so that we're not doing anything out of anger, wherever your anger happens to be directed, whether it be at me, Jabrizi, the world, whatever it is. Let's just take a couple of days to think about everything we've heard. You might be listening to this because you want to defend Jabrizi, and you might be listening to this because you want to vilify him. But for now, I think we should not do anything public. However, I want to hear your thoughts. I have a couple of ideas on how I think it would be good to properly proceed as a community, but I do want to hear what you're thinking and how this made you feel and what your thoughts are. So please email me at shezampod@gmail.com, or you can use Facebook or Instagram at shezampod. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, so please send them along and stay tuned because there's definitely going to be some more to come on the subject. We're not done yet. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great day and we'll talk soon. Bye.